almost worth saying's Question Time Review. Question Time, the 23rd of October, 2025. The panel, Stephen Kinnock, Labour, Harriet Baldwin, Conservative, Nadine Dorries, Daily Mail columnist, Mariella Fostrop, broadcaster. The venue, Swindon. On occasion, QT Review comments on the inevitable panellists' girl war resulting from two or more of the species dressed to the nines and being watched and judged in a confined space. This time, we shall ignore the couture and concentrate on work done. For starters, almost to the day the same age as this author, whereas your humble reviewer of panel shows looks like a dead body, 62-year-old Miss Mariella Fostrop looks as though she's just been ironed. A journalist, broadcaster, writer and one of the County Wicklow Fostrops, Mariella was born in Oslo to a local father and a Scottish mother, moving to Kilmacanagoo near Dublin when aged six. Her hereditary journalist, Father Peter, was a literary critic and the foreign editor of the Irish Times. In her own autobiographical critique, Mariella tells an Irish emigrant tale as if driven by hope and hardship. She left the Emerald Isle for the mean streets over the water to live in a London squat before drifting into the music industry. QT Review HQ suspects her father's media contacts will have eased her passage, not least to her first position as a PR at Phonogram Records. Developing her career from there, she appeared on screen for the first time in the early years of Channel 4 before conducting a Kooks tour of London media, eventually finding a niche in arts programming. On QT as recently as January, this year has been epic for Nadine Dorries. As well as her other appearance on Question Time, the tail end of the year saw La Norris's September defection from the Conservative Party to Reform UK. Having stood down from her Bedfordshire seat at the July 2024 general election, the 67-year-old remains an unindicted parliamentary expenses war criminal. Nadine claimed over £3,000 on personal travel expenses and £60,000 for second home allowances while only using her main home for free weekends and holidays. The discrepancies came to light through dishonest blog entries, which suggested she lived in her constituency, whereas she didn't. Given that mid-Bedfordshire is a 50-minute commute from central London, why was she allowed to claim second home expenses at all? Nadine's daughters, Jennifer and Philippa, were also on the Westminster payroll. You paid them over £30,000 per annum for roles such as office manager, executive secretary and senior secretary. A published author, her mighty work, The Children of Lovely Lane 2, a gripping novel in the Lovely Lane series of engaging characters and cinematic street scenes, sits an unlovely 384,080th place on the Amazon bestsellers list, a full 241,292 places behind the little cinema in the back streets of 1970s Amsterdam that is the Marquis de Sade's 120 Days of Sodom. With her proceeds from the Lonely Lane chronicles of nurses Diana, Victoria, Pammy and Beth, a new assistant matron, the mysterious Miss Van Gilder from somewhere down south, Nadine pulls the old and well-oiled tax-dodging trick familiar to readers. Her earnings as a writer, commentator, TV and radio personality accumulate in a company called Averbrook Limited. Latest published counts show a cool £500,000 in cash in hand or at the bank, awaiting allocation to a tax-avoiding dividend payment or a director's loan, or perhaps a timely trip to a clinic in Turkey. For as she approaches her 70th year, Ms. Norris's suspiciously high cheekbones appear quarried, with perhaps her floppy blonde fringe disguising the resulting tailings. One of the South Glamorgan Troffers, Ní Kinnock, Stephen is the son of former EU Commissioner Lord Neil Gordon Troffer, the Baron Snoutin. His late mother was former MEP Glenys Elizabeth Troffer. Stephen's wife is Helle Trofer Nini Thorning Schmidt, a former Prime Minister of Denmark, who didn't leave school until she was 27, having completed a degree in the Danish equivalent of politics, philosophy and economics. The comrades Thorning Schmidt Trof educated their daughter privately at the £37,000 a year Atlantic College. As a true socialist, Mr. Trofer then lied about it, claiming this wasn't really a private education, as the Danish taxpayer was funding a scholarship. As further proof of his left-wing credentials, Mr. Trof has been a Swiss resident for tax purposes, while simultaneously being a Danish resident for tax avoidance purposes, regarding a half-ownership of his wife's house, etc., 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 etc. Oh, and Stephen was also a member of the World Economic Forum. A graduate in modern languages from Queen's College, Cambridge, and holding an MA in European Studies, College of Europe, Bruges, upon completing his education, well-connected Master Trofer had a series of non-jobs so numerous they require their own addendum. See below. Despite representing Aberavon in the House of Commons, the 55-year-old lives in London's posh Kilburn. Mrs. Thorning Schmidt Trofer-Kinnock is also involved with the World Economic Forum and has previously chaired their Davos meeting. Her appointments are so numerous they can't even be fitted into an addendum. Harriet Baldwin, not her real name, Dame Harriet Mary Morrison Baldwin, MBE, is a public school headmaster's daughter and herself an old girl of the exclusive Marlborough College, £62,000 per annum. Dame Harriet graduated from St Edmund Hall, Oxford, with a first in French and Russian before taking an MBA at Montreal's McGill University Desolures Facility of Management, which allowed for a two-decade-long career with J.P. Morgan Chase. Elected to Parliament in 2010, Mrs. Baldwin represents West Worcestershire on behalf of the Conservative Party. Present husband, James Stanley Baldwin, yes, Stanley Baldwin, is a businessman and television producer. 65-year-old Harriet presents as if she spends her money on copious amounts of heavy-duty makeup rather than on cosmetic surgery and looks all the better for it. Incidentally, according to the Temp, who is also female and should know about such things, LaBruce has been quoted as saying she would not consider cosmetic surgery and her husband would never forgive her if she did. The QT chair has drawn a line at cosmetic surgery to prolong her career, despite high-definition television making her look pretty rough in comparison to other presenters who use Botox. Do we believe her? Mumsnet doesn't. Under the heading Did Fiona Had Sick a Facelift, contributor Marvin Gale wonders, all the middle-aged female TV presenters, especially on the BBC, seem never to have any double chin or loose skin, all ageing gracefully. Where do they go? It can't be that they all have the right genes. In as close to a consensus as you'll find amongst the warring yummy mummies below the line in that hellhole, the answer is either the studio lighting or a Dr. Amir in Tunbridge Wells. Question one. Reference the one in, one out policy. Is it working? The uninitiated, one in, one out means for every 1,000 illegal immigrants that come here, there's an off chance one of them might be sent back. Joking apart, the reality is an even bigger joke, with the first illegal immigrant being returned to France via one in, one out, having already returned illegally on a small boat. Or, as Fiona Bruce put it, stayed there just a few weeks and has come back again, and that's possibly not what the government would like. Stephen Kinnock began by saying we are absolutely committed to, wait for it, smashing the gangs. No, they aren't. They, globalists as they are totally committed to open borders and mass uncontrolled illegal immigration at any cost. And to stopping these channeled crossings, he continued dishonestly. He's come straight back, interrupted LaBruce. Actually, I think that sends a very clear signal, replied Kinnock. He's not wrong. According to Kinnock, the repeat illegal immigrant has been detained and will be sent straight back to France. If you come here illegally, you will get sent straight back. and swapped for another illegal immigrant and their family, Mr. Kinnock forgot to add. The immigrant has wasted the money he paid to the people smugglers, added the Minister for Care. Hold on a minute. The elite keep telling us that these people are vulnerable and destitute, not loaded with enough cash for repeated illegal trips across the Channel. They'll just get on another boat, said Nardine Dorris. Kinnock didn't know how much these penniless, vulnerable souls were paying the people smugglers, but while the pilot scheme is still being ramped up, the policy won't be a deterrent, but the principle will be. He blamed the Tories for allowing the people smugglers a 6-year head start. Yawn. Since they came to power, Labour have deported 35,000 people. Mr. Kinnock omitted to mention how many have come straight back. According to the Temp, since the start of the Labour government, in July 2024 to the end of December 2024, long-term immigration into the UK is likely to be in the order of several hundred thousand people in that half year. Yes, in half a year. The official figure for the year ending June 2024, just before the election, was 1,218,000. As I said, open borders and mass, uncontrolled, unlimited immigration. It isn't working, said Harriet Brown. She suggested a safe third country to which they could be sent. Might one suggest nearby France? The second thing that needs to change, they shouldn't be able to claim asylum. This is to prevent them risking their lives and to smash the gang's business model, rather than because the illegals are undesirables we don't want. Someone tap Ms. Baldwin on the shoulder and remind her the people risking their lives are the ordinary decent British people, unfortunate enough to be living near the 4-star hotels the illegal immigrants are dumped in. She wanted to build up deterrence to stop the gangs, i.e. she might as well be in the Labour Party. Nardine wouldn't allow Kinnock to blame the previous government. By the one-in, one-out scheme, only 46 have gone back. It just isn't a deterrent. It just isn't working. The only way to sort this out is for reform to take power. A murmur went around the audience. Kinnock asked what the plan is. He wondered about the future of international cooperation, particularly if we left the ECHR. Our job is to protect our borders, replied Nardine. I don't know when we started dehumanising people, began Mariella, to applause from the carefully selected Thames Valley BBC audience. She found this really shocking and admired the illegal immigrant who has returned already. Imagine if nobody wanted to come here, continued the entitled Nip and Tucker. Never mind my wrinkles and bags, she turned my stomach by referencing rape victims in the Congo who can't come here, whilst omitting to mention there's no way of telling if the overwhelmingly male illegal immigrants arriving are themselves rapists. She went through the plastic face melting boiling point when praising the Afghans who supported us in that war. Enough. I shall watch the traitors instead, not the dangerous, polished media political London bubble traitors on Question Time, but the harmless old hams camping it up in a Scottish castle. Addendum. Mr. Stephen Trofford Kinnock's non-jobs. 93 to 94, research assistant, European Parliament, Brussels. 94 to 96, consultant, Lancashire Enterprises, Brussels. 96 to 99, business development manager, British Council, Brussels. 2000 to 2002, director, British Council, Brussels. 2003 to 2005, programme manager, British Council, London. 2005 to 2008, director, British Council, St. Petersburg, Russia. 2008, March to October, interim director, British Council, Sierra Leone. 2008, October to December, programme leader, British Council, London. 2009 to 2012, World Economic Forum Director and Head of Europe and Central Asia, based in Geneva. 2012 to 2015, Managing Director, Global Leadership and Technology Exchange, Zintio AS. 2015, elected to Parliament as MP for Aberavon.